So the reason I chose the song Waymaker, it's got a little bit of a charismatic feel to it, I admit that, but I couldn't not sing it today because today we're doing some work on faith. And we talked about faith a couple of weeks ago. We talked about prayer last week, which is one of the ways we exercise our faith. And then today we're going to be talking about putting those two things together, faith and prayer, putting those together today. And we're actually going to be doing some of it in class. And so I was starting to tell about choosing the song Waymaker. And I can remember sitting in, I remember discovering that song like when it first came out. And this was probably 2019, spring of 2019 or somewhere in there. And then you all know what happened in 2020. And so my daughter Mira Lee came home from New York thinking she was just going to wait it out a few weeks and you know, till the worst part of COVID got by us. And, of course, she's still here, and that's been 5 years ago. But and we're coming up, I think, like just in a few weeks of the anniversary of that big, you know, kind of the big shutdown and everything. But I can remember that first Sunday we opened the computer, and I think maybe we put it up on the screen of the television, and her little church in New York, which is just a gosh, you know, she wishes she could move it down here. It's just a fantastic place to go and to worship. It's a multiracial church, and they believe in the Bible, and they believe in the Holy Spirit, and they believe in loving one another well. And that little preacher got on the screen and started just, you know, trying his best to just drum up faith and belief in a good God in spite of all the ugly that was going on, all the devastating loss. New York was, as you well know, was very extremely hit by COVID. So, so many people died. And at the end of that service, this is the song that they sang. And Mira Lee and I were sitting in those chairs in our den and just belting it out as loud as we could. The longer it went, the harder we sang, because we knew that only God could deliver us from this thing that nobody had ever seen before. You know, it's just like, just when you think you've seen it all, something like that comes, and you have to have, to get through it well, you have to have faith and believe in that our God is good anyway, that he is who he says he is anyway. And so I guess that's, I hadn't planned on giving a testimony, but that's kind of like an example of standing on the truth of God's word about who he is. And, you know, I didn't do a handout because I wasn't planning on saying this, but I could make you a handout for that song. We could get you, you know, one page for Waymaker, verses that where the Bible tells us that, one page for Miracle Worker, one page for Promise Keeper, one page for Light in the Darkness, because those are all scriptural truths that we were singing. And so that's an exercise in faith when we sing songs like that. And so I wanted to start out with that because I knew that I would have a jolt of faith if we did, and I was hoping you would too. But today we're going to talk about the name. I just named it personal application. I like to do this. We have had 5 teachings in a row, and they've been pretty meaty and pretty, you know, varied, although they've been along this theme of really putting the living and active into the living and active word. And today we're going to look at a faith exercise called appropriation. And appropriation, if you look it up in the dictionary, and this is dictionary.com, it's defined this way. And I've looked it up in the Bible too, and it's really not used in that exact way in the Bible, although it's modeled that way in the Bible. It says taking possession of, making use of, or seizing for oneself. So appropriation is basically taking God's living and active word and taking hold of it for yourself. And not just as, oh, this is the truth, yay, I know that now. But this is about taking possession of it and putting a stake in it and actually going to God with it and saying, Lord, I want this to be a part of my heart knowing, not just my head knowing. And so we do that by this technique. And what we do is we take a principle in Scripture and we say to God, would you make this true of me? I'm extending faith in this. And the verse that appropriation is based on is 1 John 5:14-15. This is our, you know, kind of like our text for the day, so to speak. And it says, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. So this is a very, very powerful verse, or two verses. And I want to go back through it. God wants us to have confidence. Confidence is a synonym for faith. He wants us to have this kind of confidence in our relationship with him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that is our boundary line right there. Anything according to his will. And how do we know that something is God's will? Because it's written in his word. That's why he's given us his word. It is our boundary, so to speak. And yet it's got some incredible number of promises in it, y'all. It's just like in the thousands of promises in the Word of God. So the boundary lines are big and wide. And what I would like us to do is to extend the boundaries of our faith today. Because when we ask God to do something that he's already said is his will in his Word, you got two solid legs to stand on, and you're standing on the solid rock of his word, which is immovable. So it's gonna make a difference in how you approach and think about and feel about whatever it is that you're going through. And so this promise goes on, and it says that if we ask according to his will, he hears us. He hears our prayer. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask that's according to his will and his word, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Y'all, I did not write this. God wrote this. This is in the Bible. So if anybody's not excited about this, I find this to be extremely exciting. I hope you're catching some excitement from reading that verse. This is the confidence, the faith, the excitement that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have it, y'all. It's ours. We can take possession of it, just like the definition. And so what I do when I see something in God's word, whether it's familiar or not, and it all of a sudden, a connection is made in my mind about whatever it is I'm going through and whatever it is I need light about, wherever I'm in the dark, wherever I need hope, wherever I need faith. When I make that connection, when I've got my Bible open or when I've got my worksheet out, then what I will do is I'll say, oh, Lord, would you make that true of me? And my little logo or abbreviation is MIT, make it true. And I write it down a lot in my journal. I'll write my scripture out and I'll put MIT and put a big circle and a star by it, because I am marking that. That's my putting the stake in the ground and flying my flag of faith for that verse to say, Lord, I believe you. I want to see you make this a reality. And so I pray it back to him. And oftentimes when I do that, I'll pray it in his words. I'll pray the exact words he said, Lord, and I'll just say, Lord, you said, and then I will just pray every single word back to him. And then as I begin to do it on a repeated basis, I'll put my name in it, I'll put my child's name in it, I'll put my neighbor's name in it, whoever I'm appropriating the scripture on their behalf. And then many times I'll paraphrase it. And that's why I get my Bible search engine out and get, like, you can say, you can put in the top of Bible Gateway, you can put, say, one of the ones that I really enjoyed this week is Psalm 25:4. You can put that in the top of your search engine, and it doesn't matter what translation you choose. You can hit it, it'll populate the verse on your screen, and then right below there, it'll give you little cross references and stuff like that. And then it'll say, see in every English translation. And if you punch that button, it'll go, and you've got 20-something versions of that verse of the way it's been translated. Many of them are almost identical, but it just helps me to just read it and read it and reread it and reread it. And sometimes there's just a little bitty change of word or something like that. And it just helps me to build faith and to understand it more deeply by doing it that way. And then I've given you 8 verses here that back up what God's just told us in this verse, that if we ask anything according to his will, which is in his word, that he is going to do it. And here, I just think it's important that we really get solid on this. Jeremiah 1:12 is one of my all-time favorites. This is my hawk verse. If you've ever heard me say, I saw a hawk, y'all. And what that means to me is, you know how the hawks are known for being just, you know, like they'll see something and they'll just get beaded in on it with their eyes and everything. That's what the hawk means to me, is that he's watching something and he's going to go after it and he's going to get it. So this is my hawk verse, Jeremiah 1:12. I am watching over my word to perform it. This is God speaking. I am watching over my word to perform it. That should give you some faith in your faith legs if they're wobbly. Psalm 138:8, the Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Proverbs 28:10, this is King James, the upright shall have good things in possession, which is one of the meanings of appropriation, is to take possession. Luke 15:31, this is from the parable of the prodigal son, and the father in that picture being a picture of our Heavenly Father. Son or daughter, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. And let me just take a little sidebar here and say the verse Ephesians 1:3. We have it on, I think I gave this out, but you can get it on the website if you don't have it in your notebook. But we have a handout called Spiritual Blessings, and it's taken from Ephesians 1:3. And what Ephesians 1:3 says is this. It says, every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ Jesus, which to me, I should have put on this paper, shouldn't I? But I didn't. But that's another one you can add to this. And so all those spiritual blessings, all those truths about who we are in Christ are part of our inheritance. And every bit of that is ours. And that's the Father saying to us, it's all yours. And I want you to take possession of it. Enjoy it while you're here on earth. Don't wait till you get to heaven. 2 Peter 1:3 was in my prayer. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So let me say something about that. So sometimes the thing you're thinking about is, I want my son to make the basketball team. And you're praying, you know, that, for example, one I prayed for my son when he was going out for basketball was Ephesians 2:10. God has good works that he's prepared beforehand that he should walk in them. I prayed that for Jackson. He didn't make the basketball team. And Jackson said, Mom, please quit praying for me. But I always say, Lord, you know, don't you dare let Jackson make the basketball team if these aren't part of the good works you have prepared for him. And I mean that. I don't want him to make it if God doesn't want him to make it. And that's not a popular thing to say to a kid that's 14 years old, but he did make it the next year. But so that's that. That's that kind of prayer. But when we're looking at the 2 Peter 1:3 prayer, sometimes the thing, like right now, I'm praying for patience. Y'all, my natural gifting has about zero patience. I am a futuristic, I'm visionary, which is a gift. I can see things out in the future. I can see how things can be better. And that's a real gift. But the downside of it is being in the present is hard for me. And so the Lord is really, really seeking to impart patience into my gift mix, which is taking a while. I'm having to be patient about learning patience. So sometimes we're praying for those kind of things. And we should always, you know, that part of our things that we're praying about, those are some things that that are good for us to be praying. Just to continue on with these lists of, that tell us about how God is not going to let us down when we pray his word back to him. Numbers 23:19 from New Living says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. So he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? And the answer to that is no and no. It makes me think of Joshua at the end of the 40-year journey. Not one of his good promises did he fail to keep. They walked through that very, very hard time. And yet God kept every single one of his promises. That's an example from scripture that we can draw from to say he's a promise keeper. Hebrews 13:21, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. So when we do this, it brings glory to God. He's going to be, no matter whether it's the basketball team or whether it's patience, the outcome that he has in mind is going to bring glory to him because he is at work. And when we exercise faith and when we incorporate his word and when we pray, it's just like I said last time, we're going to be more likely to recognize it and we're going to know him more and trust him more if we will participate. And that brings great glory in our hearts toward him and makes us worshipers, but it also brings glory in our families, in our communities, when other people get to see it. And then lastly, I'm going to end with this one. This is the classic verse for God keeps his word in the message. Hebrews 6:18 through 20 in the message says, when God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word, a rock solid guarantee. God can't break his word. And in the Standard Translation, this is the one I say so often, it is impossible for God to lie. So it goes on to say, God can't break his word, and because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us. So that's such a beautiful picture that while we're praying to him, we're taking his word, we're praying it back to him. Jesus is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father, it tells us in Hebrews. And we learned in Romans 8 that the Spirit is also interceding for us. He's taken our prayers and mingling them up to the throne. But we can always have confidence when we're praying scripture because we know that's his will. I mean, that's a given. So it's a really great place to start if you're thinking, well, my prayer life's not that great, Kathy, and I'm not that excited about it. You can get excited about this because you know it's a sure guaranteed outcome, as it said in that passage. So let's talk about all of our needs. Appropriation is a way that we can bring all of our needs to God and we can exercise our faith in those. And in particular, for me, this is a good one when I am in a long-standing issue where I need to renew my faith. Sometimes I do this, I generally do this when something new bubbles up. It's a great place to start that journey of faith when something new happens. Or if it's just hard, you know, you may have a hard thing, or we talked about troubles and pressure a couple of weeks back. Those are places that we can use this. And as I said, our spiritual growth journey with the Lord, our relationship with him, relationships in general, you know, people are part of the problem. It's one of my little sayings. And so, you know, those are always a good place to do appropriating, because you know, sometimes we don't know what to do in a relationship, but we do have some givens in a relationship, like love and forgive, and none of us can produce that on our own. I can't love somebody unconditionally. I'm just not able because I'm a human, but God can. And I sometimes find it really hard. I was this weekend, I had my eyes closed in the car when we were traveling, and I was trying so hard to forgive this person. And I just kept wrestling with it before the Lord. And then it hit me, oh, Kathy, you are working so hard to forgive this person. And you know what? That's not in your wheelhouse. That's, I can appropriate the forgiveness of God. Ephesians, if that's what you're going to work on today, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 would be a great one to record. And because it's the one that tells us to let all your bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you. And forgive just as Christ, God in Christ, has forgiven us. And then have loving kindness and a tender heart toward that person. Y'all, I can't put away all that stuff. And I can't put on those fruits apart from Jesus doing it in me. And so that's another example of a need. And so what we want to do, and I've done this for you today, is to seek out verses on your area of need. And I will email each one of the leaders who will then email it to you if you don't. Stephanie, would you check your notebook and see if we have that tool? And nobody else opened their notebook. Okay, thank you. But anyway, a way to do that is go to a promise book, to go to this page that I've been talking about the spiritual blessings. You should have that in your notebook. If you don't have it in your notebook, it's on the website, and we will email it out this week. I should have given that to us. I didn't because I wanted you to kind of stick with these verses. But to seek verses out, you can go to something that's already there for you. A lot of people have already done this work. It's on the internet. It's in books. But for you to do it for yourself, you can go to a promise book. You can go to the back of your Bible if it has a concordance. You can go to a topical Bible. They still make those. I know a lot of people don't use Bibles anymore because they use the internet. The internet is a fabulous place to do this. And I've said this before, and I put it on your paper. You can just take your browser. You can type in verse or scripture, that word, and then you can say, I hate somebody. that may be a little bit. You probably need to refine it a little bit more than that. Maybe you should say resentment, you know, or maybe bitterness or unforgiveness. Something that will. But if you say scripture in front of it, what you're probably going to get is you're probably going to get about 20 pages of stuff, and on that front page, you can find article after article after article where sweet people of God have put together verses about whatever your topic is. And you can just go off of their list. Or sometimes it'll populate with a Bible search tool that'll give you like a verse. So anyway, that's a way for you to get started if you don't have a starting place. But I've given you a starting place today. That's just for future reference. So today I have given you four chunks of scripture. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to do appropriating together. And then we're going to do appropriating together again in our small groups. And I just, you know, here's the thing. I keep talking about God's word being living and inactive. I keep telling testimonies about when I felt like God, quote, gave me the scripture, as we've looked at John 16:13 every single week, that the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of truth, will lead us into all truth. He will take of the words of Jesus and he will declare or disclose or impart them unto us. I talk like that's just a daily affair. And honestly, I'm just going to tell you, it is something I do almost every single day. And I'm so grateful that somebody taught me how to do it. And so I want to make sure that nobody leaves this course without having come away experiencing that for themselves. And so today we're going to do that. And so often our lives are so busy, it's nice to have just time. And so I'm going to give you extra time to do that today. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to read it. You guys are going to have your pen in your hand, okay? And I'm going to read it. And then I'm going to pray it. And then we're going to read the next one. And then we're going to pray it. And then we're going to read the next one. And we're going to pray it. And what I'd like for you to do before we do that is, and I should have put this on the paper, but I didn't, is we're going to do a listening. let's go ahead and do our listening now. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask the Lord. Okay, so I just mentioned this smorgasbord of things I could be praying about. I've got probably 15 things I could bring. Let's ask God to help you select just one for the purpose of today's class. Just one thing. It can be that woman I have trouble forgiving. It can be I need patience. It can be I am so worried that if my child doesn't have this happen in their life, that they'll abandon God forever and go to jail and I'll never see them again. It can be your marriage. It can be your health, finances. The sky's the limit. You've probably got more than 15. But let's ask the Lord to really highlight one of those for you. And then with that thing in mind that we're going to pray through, we're going to do this exercise together, and then we'll finish processing it as a group. So that if you get, you know, if you get hit a snag somewhere, if you need to ask questions or, you know, anything like that. And then you'll also have the backup of the people in your prayer group to know what it is you're appropriating so that they can then also appropriate it for you. Does that sound like a good plan? So I hope you'll find it to be really fruitful. And so what I like to do is take my pen, and I'll either put a circle around it, underline it, put a star by it. If it's something that I feel that all of a sudden, you know, that the Lord has drawn my attention to, the Holy Spirit is highlighting for me, if it's something I think, oh, wow, that really applies, I'll just mark it. And let me say one more thing before we do our little listening thing, is that this exercise is what I mentioned the other day when I said this. I think I've said this a couple of times, but I want to re-say it now because this is what we're about to do. This is an example of God's Logos written word. This is always our starting place. Always, always. It is the foundation of every single prayer we pray, of every bit of faith we exercise, is God's word. It is our certain and sure place. And so when we don't know what to pray, this is where we go. When we don't know what to believe, this is where we go. And this is how a Logos written, living and active word of God becomes living and active. It's when you take it for yourself. And that's all we're doing. We're taking it for ourselves, and we're praying it back to God. And I can promise you, if you will do that about your issue, it will spark life. It will have a living and active component to it that it didn't have before you did this. And so that's all we're doing. It's not anything mystical. It's not anything, you know, it's just what that verse, 1 John 5:14 and 15 said. That if we ask anything according to his will, then he's going to hear us, and then we're going to have the request that we've asked from him. And then what we get to do after we do this is watch and wait and see how he moves. And we have to remember what we sang, that he's working even when we don't see it. And this helps us to believe that. And he's working even when we don't feel it. This helps us to go back when we're feeling that he's not working. It helps us to go back to this thing we're believing for. So I hope that makes sense. Everybody good? Okay, here we go. Okay, so Lord, we're going to come to you and ask you right now. Lord, we've got so many things we could bring. But Lord, we just want to right now be still before you. We just ask that you would quiet our hearts. Quiet our minds, quiet any questions we might have, Lord, knowing that those are going to get answered in due time. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would just cause us now to just wait before you and let you bubble up the thing it is that you would have us to bring to you in prayer today and bring your word to bear upon as we exercise our faith by appropriating. Hey, thank you, Father. I'm gonna say amen. And what we're gonna do now is we're gonna read these four portions of scripture, and you can take, you know, kind of like, hopefully you can do two things at once, walk and chew gum kind of thing. And I know women are great multitaskers, so I believe you can do this. Is that you're going to have in mind that thing you've selected, and that thing you want to pray about, and then listen to these scriptures and believe that there's going to be some application in here. And I'm not going to limit you to, like, in other words, there's, I don't know how many verses, I didn't count them, but there's probably, I don't know, 20-something verses here. You can pick a verse, a phrase, a word from every single section. No limits here. You know, it's going to be hard to, it's going to take you a lot longer to appropriate every single word, but you could do that too. But I think it'll, for the sake of the exercise, if you'll just mark the things. So does anybody have any questions about what we're about to do? Y'all good? Okay, here we go. I'm going to read and then pray. Ephesians 3:16-20 in the New Living says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So now I'm going to pray it, and I'm going to do what I suggested, which is, I may paraphrase a little bit or elaborate a little bit. So, Lord, we come to you with this fabulous portion of Scripture. Thank you for this. What a gift it is to us. And, Lord, we do just pray that from your glorious, unlimited resources, that you will empower us with inner strength through your Spirit. Lord, we ask that Christ will make his home in our hearts as we trust in him. Lord, make it true of us that we would trust him more than we trust him already, that we would trust him more. And, Lord, we pray that our roots will grow down into God's love and keep us strong. And Lord, may we have the power to understand, as all your people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep your love is. Lord, may we experience the love of Christ. Lord, make it true of us that we'll experience your love, though it is too great for us to fully understand. And Lord, will you then make us complete with all the fullness of life and all the fullness of power that comes from you? Lord, we want to give you glory. We ask that you would bring glory to yourself. Lord, you are able, through your mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we can even might think or ask. So, Lord, would you accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think? I'll give you just a second to make a few little notes. Okay, and I'm going to give you additional time at the end of this. So let's move on to Psalm 25 on the next page, page 3. And this is from the NIV. It's the first 15 verses, y'all. This is maybe my favorite psalm. It's so good. And verse 1 says, "In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the way they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare." And so now let's bring this back to the Lord in prayer. Lord, in you I put my trust. Lord, would you make that true of me, that I truly would trust you with my whole heart. Lord, I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame. Please don't let my enemies triumph over me. Lord, you tell us that no one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but that shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Lord, show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Lord, I need so much for you to do that. Just ask you to make that everyone that's listening to this psalm their experience. Lord, show them your ways. Guide us, Lord. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God. You're my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Lord, make that true, that we would trust in you and hope in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. We ask you, Lord, do not remember the sins of our youths and our rebellious ways, but Lord, according to your love, remember us, for you are good. Lord, we just declare that by faith, that you are good. Make it true that we believe that. Lord, you are good and upright. Therefore, you instruct sinners in your ways. Lord, that's just a great one great way that you show your goodness. We pray that we would believe that. Lord, would you guide us in humility? First of all, would you give us humility and guide us in what is right and teach us your way? Lord, all your ways are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of your covenant. And Lord, I thank you that we're under the new covenant. This was written in the old covenant, but I thank you that Jesus has kept the demands of your covenant, and we are in Christ. And so, Lord, that is us you're talking us about right there, that your ways are going to be loving and faithful toward us because we're under the new covenant of grace. And, Lord, we ask in verse 11, for the sake of your name, that you would forgive our iniquity, even though it's great. We ask, Lord, that you would show us anything that's standing in the way of our relationship with you. And then in verse 12, Lord, we pray, who then are those who fear the Lord, that, Lord, you are going to instruct them in the ways that they should choose. And then, Lord, you are going to give them days full of inner prosperity, and our descendants will inherit the land. Lord, make that true of our descendants. Father, we thank you that you confide in those who fear you. Would you make that true of us, that we'd have ears to hear as you make your covenant known to us? And Lord, our eyes are ever on you. Make that true of us, we pray. For only you will release my feet from the snare and then I've written of blank on mine. If there's a snare in our lives, Lord, would you show us the way and release us from that? I'm going to give you just a second. Now let's go to Psalm 91, the first 16 verses. And this is from the New Living. So I'll read it, then I'll pray it. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. So, Lord, we come to you and ask that you would help us to abide in you so that we may live in your shelter, Most High God, and that we would find rest, Lord. Make that true of us, that we would find rest in your shadow. Lord, we declare by faith that you are our refuge, you're our place of safety, you're my God, and I trust in you. Lord, we thank you that you've promised to rescue us from every trap and protect us from deadly disease. Please make that our experience. Lord, we ask that you will cover us with your feathers, that you will shelter us with your wings. Lord, your faithful promises are your armor and protection. We just thank you that we would take, you've told us to take your promises as our armor and protection. Lord, would you cause us to be protected in our hearts and in our minds by your word? Lord, we ask that you would keep us from fear of the terrors of the night or the arrows that fly in the day. Lord, keep us free from dread of diseases that stalk in the darkness or disasters that strike. Lord, we ask that though there's tragedy all around us, 1,000 may be falling at our size, 10,000 dying around us, Lord, we just pray that these evils will not touch us. We ask that we would be firm and steadfast despite all the evils around us, Lord. We ask that you would open our eyes and see how the wicked are punished. Lord, we pray that we would make you our refuge, that you would be our shelter. Lord, we ask that no evil would conquer us and no plague will come near our homes. We ask that you would order your angels to protect us wherever we go and that they would hold up their hands so that we won't even hurt our feet on a stone. Lord, we ask you to trample upon lions, that you would allow us to trample upon lions and cobras. We ask that you would crush fierce lions and serpents under our feet, Father. We thank you that you tell us you will rescue us because we love you, Lord, that you will protect us when we trust in your name. And Father, we ask that as we call on you, that you would answer as you promised you will. You've promised you'll be with us in trouble. You've promised that you will rescue and honor us, Lord. Would you make that our experience? Would you help us to see that and give us a testimony about that. Lord, we ask that you will reward us with a long life and give us your salvation. Okay, and lastly, 2 Corinthians 1, 2 through 7. And this is from the Amplified Bible. Grace to you and peace, inner calm and spiritual well-being from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed, gratefully praised, and adored be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts and encourages us in every trouble, so that we will be able to comfort and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble with a comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as Christ's sufferings are ours in abundance, as they overflow to his followers, so also our comfort, our reassurance, our encouragement, our consolation is abundant through Christ. It is truly more than enough to endure what we must. But if we are troubled and distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted and encouraged, it is for your comfort, which works in you when you patiently endure the same sufferings which we experience. And our hope for you, our confident expectation of good for you, is firmly grounded, assured, and unshaken, since we know that just as you share as partners in our sufferings, so also you share as partners in our comfort. Okay, and let's turn that one into a prayer and appropriation. So, Lord, we come to you with this really sweet passage. And, Father, we do ask you to give us your grace and your peace, that we would be calm on our insides and that we would have spiritual well-being, Lord. And we would know that that's the main thing that you're always after, Lord, and that we can only have that from you, our Father, and from you, Lord Jesus. We pray that that we would be people that bless you, that we would be grateful and praise you and adore you as our Father and as our Lord Jesus, and as the God who is a God of mercy and a God of all comfort. Lord, we thank you for that name of God, God of all comfort, that we can always come to you because you've got all the comfort we need. Lord, we thank you that you promised that you're going to comfort and encourage us in every single trouble that we ever face. We ask that you would make us able to comfort and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble with a comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted or are comforted by God. Lord, we thank you that this is a verse that tells us that you're not going to waste any of the troubles that we go through, because you're going to use them in our own lives, and then you're going to use them for us to give comfort to others. And so, Father, would you make that our experience? Would you put people in our pathways that we can share your great comfort with, Lord? And we just want to be so aware that just as Christ's sufferings are ours in abundance, as they overflow to us as your followers, Lord Jesus, also our comfort and our reassurance and our encouragement and our consolation is abundant through you. So, Lord, we just don't want to be surprised when we suffer, because you've told us that that's part of our experience on earth. So, Lord, make it true of us that we accept this, and that you would give us your acceptance, Lord Jesus, because we don't have that as humans. Would you make our comfort abundant, Lord Jesus? Would you help us to know that it's whatever we're facing is going to be more than enough to endure what we're facing and what you've called us to walk through? Lord, we ask that in the places where we're troubled and distressed, that your comfort, that we would believe it is for our own comfort and salvation, and it's for the comfort and salvation of others. Lord, would you make it true of us that if we are comforted or encouraged, and encouraged, that it would be for the comfort of others, and that it would work in the other people that we share your comfort with, as they patiently endure the same sufferings which we've experienced, Father. And Father, we pray that you truly would bolster and expand our hope in you, that we would have confident expectation of good, and that we would be firmly grounded and firmly assured and unshaken, since we know, Lord, I pray that you would make it true of us that we would know deeply that just as we share in partners in your sufferings and in each other's sufferings, Lord, that also we would share as as partners in comfort. So thank you, Lord. Make that our experience as well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Okay, I hate to cut y'all off, but our time is up. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go to our small group. And if we could kind of observe like a discipline of silence, so to speak, because, you know, we've been in an attitude of prayer, and what we're planning to do in our small groups is to continue in an attitude of prayer. So if you just quietly fold your things up and go to your small group, and then hopefully it'll be a really special time to kind of debrief with each other and to, you know, continue to apply what we've done today. Thank you very much for being here, and remember, we're off next week.